John Morosi joins us once again. John, good morning. Good to have you. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. Thanks so much for having me on the show. And yes, this month, with all the trade deadline machinations going on, I'm just trying to make sure that I've got the right players going to the right teams in the right language.
No, I think you got it. The next time you make a mistake about that will be the first. I've never seen it. I've never heard it. You're just fine. All right, now let me start with the Brewers. They smashed the Cubs 11-2 yesterday, John, in a game where Cubs pitchers combined to walk 9 guys. Center fielder John Jay pitched the 9th. How do you explain what we've seen from the Cubs so far this season?
It really is perplexing, Jim, and this is multi-layered. First and foremost, right now, 50% of the Cubs' World Series rotation is now on the disabled list. Kyle Hendricks and John Lackey. Offensively, they've been inconsistent. Kyle Schwarber, of course, comes back from the minor leagues yesterday. He has been a disappointment this season. Addison Russell, up and down. Of course, we had the recent news story about Miguel Montero speaking out against Jake Arrieta and his inability to hold runners. He was then released. So whether it's a World Series hangover, Jim, or just some regression, this is not the same team it was last year, and they still have many of the same players, but maybe they're just off their game a little bit. Of course, a short off season because of the World Series and then the World Baseball Classic this spring. They are just not themselves right now, and the Milwaukee Brewers, Jim, taking advantage. They are now in first place in the National League Central, and I had sources tell me in the last 24 hours they are ready to buy and add to their starting rotation at the trade deadline.
All right, so isn't that interesting? Because they've got the lowest payroll in the majors. They've got 5 big-time prospects, so it looks like they may be buying at the deadline. What about the Cubs? You've reported that the Cubs had a scout watching Justin Verlander. Could you see them making a move for him, or do you think they'll try to find the solutions from inside the clubhouse and their own farm system?
Well, they're going to try to add, Jim, and they still have a pretty good farm system, whether it's Ian Happ, who, of course, is in the minor leagues right now, Eloy Jimenez, who has had some injury issues this year. They still have, I believe, even after making the Chapman trade last year, enough tools in the minor leagues to make a major splash. And I think, Jim, they will try to add a starting pitcher, even if they're in this 500 malaise that they're in right now, because they have to address their rotation after this season. I mentioned Lackey being on the DL along with Hendricks. Well, also Jake Arrieta is going to be a free agent. He's represented by Scott Boras. So, Jim, that's going to be a hard thing for them to find a way to keep all these guys in the fold pitching well going forward. So I expect they can look at this trade deadline, if they trade for someone like a Sonny Gray or even a Verlander, as getting a head start on their offseason planning, which has to be pretty extensive, at least as the rotation is concerned.
John Morosi joining us. I was going to ask you about Sonny Gray. John, how likely is it that Oakland moves him? And if so, where do you think he might end up?
I think it's very likely now, Jim, that Gray will be moved. His value has really fluctuated a lot the last couple of years because he's had some injury issues. He hasn't overall been the guy that he was in 2015 when he was a Cy Young candidate. But he now has put together 3 quality starts in a row, which I think has piqued the interest of clubs like the Cubs. Even the Kansas City Royals had a scout watching his most recent outing. So I think the Royals are a possibility there. But the Houston Astros, Jim, they have been the most consistent team on Sonny Gray from the very beginning. I like their chances. I think it's probably going to be either the Astros or the Cubs. Maybe also the Dodgers, because, of course, the connection there, Farhan Zaidi, the now GM of the Dodgers, actually worked with Sonny Gray there in Oakland years before.
You see, it's really interesting, John, because you look at the Astros, and they've got the best record in baseball. But as you pointed out, if you go back to 2015, when they reached the postseason, they did not make a move for a closer, and it came back to bite them. And then you've got the LA Dodgers, so probably the best team in baseball, not named the Astros. Can you see either one of those teams making that big swing, given how well they're playing right now? And if so, who's it going to be, the Astros or the Dodgers?
Well, I think they both will, Jim. I think they're both going to make moves for starting pitching. And I love it about the deadline right now that we're seeing that the two teams that I think are the classes of their respective leagues are both going for the same thing. And they may well meet in the World Series. And that World Series may well be determined by the moves that happen in the coming weeks. Now, the Astros, Dallas Keuchel, we have to watch him very closely because he's on the DL right now. They're optimistic he'll be back after the All-Star break. But he's had a neck issue, Jim, that has lingered much longer than they thought it would, which really makes some big-time concern for me. And of course, they're probably going to downplay their concern over it because they don't want to seem too desperate on the trade market. So the Astros know they have to get at least one more starting pitcher, and maybe even two, but I think at least one impact guy. And again, the same names are in play for probably both these teams. Gray, Jose Quintana, Garrett Cole, maybe J-Hap, Justin Verlander. I think it's that same group of guys. Potentially Ervin Santana if the Twins continue sinking in the AL Central. So watch that storyline there very closely. But the Dodgers, Jim, I've made this point before, but I think it bears repeating. And their guiding principle, I actually spoke with a source about this earlier in the week about the Dodgers' thought process here. Their guiding principle is they have to find a way to keep Clayton Kershaw from pitching on short rest in the first round for what would be the fifth straight season. I think the whole postseason narrative about Kershaw, about him struggling, is so outdated it's not even funny. He actually has the second most quality starts in the postseason of any pitcher in baseball since 2013, but he's been compromised by the lack of a bullpen in many years and then having to go on short rest, which has left him weary by the end of the NLCS. That has to be avoided this year by the Dodgers. As great as Alex Wood has pitched, they have to, I believe, get one more starting pitcher to make sure the burden on Kershaw is not too heavy from the very beginning of the playoffs.
Extremely well said. Alex Wood is 10-0. He's got an ERA of 1.67. John Morosi joining us. John, before I let you go, I've got to ask you about the Toronto Blue Jays. I hate to even bring this up, these two names, because of what they mean, but they've got a pair of exciting prospects in none other than Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Bo Bichette. Of course, these are the sons of Vlad Guerrero and Dante Bichette. It's insane to think that the sons of those two guys are already making noise, but how good are both of those players?
Phenomenal, Jim, and I'm very excited. We'll see Sunday at the All-Star Futures game on MLB Network. We'll see them both in there, which is almost unprecedented for two position players from the same low-class A affiliate, the Lansing Lugnuts in the great state of Michigan is where these guys are playing right now. You almost never see two position players from the same Midwest League club in the Futures game because it's usually higher-level guys. That tells you how good they both are. As you mentioned, both have phenomenal big league bloodlines, and also they could impact the thinking of the Jays with their former MVP, Josh Donaldson. They already have Tulowitzki signed there long-term on the left side of the infield. These two guys both play the left side of the infield as well. So their ascent and the promise they have, Jim, could impact the trade deadline decisions of the Toronto Blue Jays.
You should not have mentioned Donaldson. I was going to let you go, John, but now that you did, I got to follow up. What's going to happen to him, and what do you think about his future in Toronto?
Well, Jim, it's a great question, and I was told here recently there's been no real progress on Donaldson in terms of an extension for the Jays, which leads me to believe he is very much in play if the offer overwhelms the Blue Jays. So teams like the Cardinals and Giants are the ones to watch. But, of course, if he hits free agency, he'll be part of that same free agent class as Manny Machado. And the Jays, Jim, they do not want to see Machado sign with, let's say, the Red Sox and Donaldson go to the Yankees. That'd be a tough one to swallow there for our friends from the North.
There it is, and now we are done. He is the most versatile man in sports, covering multiple sports and tweeting in multiple languages for Fox Sports, NHL Network, and MLB Network. John Morosi does it again. John, so good to have you back. Thank you very much. Great job.
My pleasure, Jim. Have a wonderful weekend.
You too, John. Take care. He's so good.